There is an organization called Feed My Starving Children. It's been around for a good long while. And they just opened a major operation here. And I must confess my ignorance. I have never really followed this organization at all. But they feed millions and millions of meals all over the world. I mean, something like 35 million in Asia, 132 million meals in the Caribbean. And for the last 14 years, CEO and executive director is Mark Crea, and he joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, David. Great to be here.
So how do you put together, how many millions of, 1.2 million volunteers packed 333 million meals?
That was last year, yes.
In 2017.
So we'll do
just the logistics of doing something like that.
Well, that's the iceberg that's under the water for us. A huge logistical issue to send this to 70 countries around the world. This year, 365 million meals will be donated to missionaries all over the world. And you're right, it takes a lot of work. 1.3 million volunteers.
That's, again, it's breathtaking. So your facility here, and you have several of these, but you recently opened one in Richardson. And it's where volunteers congregate to pack your meals?
So the Richardson site is what we would say one of our mega sites. It is designed to produce 50 million meals a year with 150,000 volunteers from the greater Dallas area. And, you know, we've been coming to Texas. We've been coming to the Dallas area when we do our mobile packs, where we would come in temporarily, set up in a church or a business, and 3-4 days, and boom, and then we're out. But we kept getting pulled back here. And I would just tell you, if you want to get something done and you want to do it big, come to Texas.
You know, I mean, it strikes me as a good way to sort of spread the message and raise the awareness about your organization, to go from church to church and train new volunteers. But the reality is that it doesn't seem like a very efficient operation. This seems a lot better.
Well, it is, and we've refined this. You know, we started in 87, but we've refined this over decades to how do we maximize. These are people, you know, half of our volunteers are young people, which is very cool. But, geez, you got a 5-year-old and a 100-year-old. Really, you're going to get production and you're going to get efficiency out of that? I would tell you, yes, we do.
So how are you funded? And you've got good ratings. I mean, the agency said that something like over 90% of everything you raise, you know, turns around and gets shipped out and somebody's eating it as we speak.
Yep.
Where did you come from and where do you get funding?
Well, all of our funding is we raise all of our own funding. So you got the volunteers. That's a big part. I would say faith communities, churches are a good source of funding. And individual businessmen and women that support the organization. So no government funding, you know, big foundations and things. That's really less than 5% of our funding. So the bulk of it really comes from individuals.
And where did it start? How did you start? And you start, you operate out of Coon Rapids, Minnesota.
Right.
So we probably not a lot of nonstop flights into Coon Rapids.
No. We started in Minneapolis, a Minneapolis businessman, and started sending surplus. You know, we've got the big food companies up there. You know, Cargill, General Mills,
of course,
Pillsbury.
That's right.
And so he started sending surplus food overseas. You know, that really didn't work well. It's not the kind of food you need to give a malnourished child. So the food scientists from those companies, all headquartered in Minneapolis, got together and said, you know, we can figure this out. So they did. So we've got a very specific formula that's designed to rebuild a malnourished child. Now we started to use volunteers, and the organization began to grow. And I know lots of your listeners, as you think about business and how do you do nonprofit charitable work, but do it with a real keen business sense. You can do both. Some people go, oh, I don't think that works. No, it does.
Well, you've evidently got the efficiencies down because, again, the numbers are breathtaking. 132 million meals to the Caribbean alone. Right. Does this change around? I mean, we were talking on the way over. The president tweeted not too long ago that he was going to consider cutting off all USA to Guatemala and Honduras and El Salvador. Got a feeling there are going to be a lot of hungry people down there if that happens.
Well, I hope we can continue to send. Those are countries we do a lot of work in. And for us to be able to, we use embedded organizations, missionaries in those countries. We get the food directly to them. They're feeding the children, orphanages, school feeding programs, malnutrition clinics. And that makes a difference. If you can feed people there, kids grow up healthy. When they're in school, they actually learn. That's where you can make some critical difference. So that's what we focus on.
So you're plugging in. I mean, you have to have a big distribution center, whether it's in Africa or Asia or, you know, parts of Europe. Right. How do you plug in? These are not employees of yours,
no.
Right?
No. So we're in 70 countries, David, but I don't have staff in any of those places. So in the relief world, people would describe us as being weird. We've got a weird model. Yeah. I think it's a great model. So we find those embedded organizations and don't tend to work through the international big agencies and things. We try to get directly to the people caring for the kids. But they know how to get things done. People would say, well, who do you work with? I would describe them in three ways. They have a heart of a pastor, they have a head of an entrepreneur, and the guts of a Marine.
Sounds like it.
Yeah.
So is your business cyclical? Most businesses are cyclical. And I would think that you rely on, I mean, you got to be tied to commodity pricing.
Well, we do. We're very blessed that, because that's consumes two-thirds of our budget.
And you're buying that, right? That
we're buying that all from the U.S. So Texas, a big rice producer. The soybeans, of course, you got the Midwest, the vitamin mineral that we have that custom blended here in the U.S. and dehydrated vegetables. So we buy all of that. That's where most of our money goes.
But commodities go up and down in price.
They do. And so we work hard at that, and we have good relationships with many of our vendors. And frankly, we would just say, help us, you know, 22 cents a meal feeds a child. And so save us a dollar, and we'll feed four more kids.
Wow.
That's our simple math.
That's outstanding. And so you're up and operating out of Richardson right now?
We are. And so, you know, we are ramping that site up. We continue to do mobile packing. We got a big event, Hope-Filled Holidays, coming up here at the convention center in December. And so we're going to continue to do those kinds of events in addition to saying, come on in 6 days a week, Monday through Saturday.
Right.
Volunteer for 2 hours. That's all we need. Come in with your family, your company, your church, and you're going to make a big impact.
So this is all very shelf stable. Do
yep.
you ship it? I mean, by containers, but you know, over ship, or do you have to fly this out?
No, we ship it by containers. So you're right. It has a 3-year shelf life. It's dehydrated, which means it's stable. It's lighter, so it's less costly to ship. But a 40-foot container has 272,000 meals in it.
Wow. Well, you do a lot of good work, and you do remarkable work spread out over 70 countries. Mark Cray is the CEO of Feed My Starving Children. Welcome to the area permanently now.
Thank you very much.
Good to have you here. I'm David Johnson. News Radio 1080 KRLD.